What's up, everybody? This is Stacey B and KP, and this is the Queen Sugar Review for Episode 8, Season 3, Come Clad in Peace. So, KP, what were your overall thoughts of this episode?
I thought this episode did pick up a bit from the last one. The last one was a little slow, but I think this was a turning, kind of like one of those turning point transitional episodes with, I don't know how much we want to get into it, but, you know, with Prosper moving on, and it just seemed really transitional. So I'm pretty sure, you know, we're being set up for a big one.
Right, definitely.
Set up.
a real setup.
It always is.
Right, when you see the title, you know, there was definitely a lot of peace with a lot of the characters, for sure. And speaking of Prosper's move, or Prosper, let's talk about his move. Although he's not blood to them, to the family, you know, they've kind of taken him in like he is blood, which I love to see. I love his relationship with Charlie. That just really gives me life. And I love the advice that Envy gave him about, you know, speaking up if you need some help. But it's pretty ironic that she would say that, because she tends to, you know, kind of shut people down when she needs help. But that was pretty interesting. She probably needs to take her own advice. But I really loved how they are taking care of him. He's becoming one of my favorite characters. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I definitely love Prosper. He actually reminds me of my grandfather. He even dressed the same way. It's crazy, but I love that, like you said, of all people, to give Prosper the advice of when you need someone, you know, ask, and she's definitely not taking her own advice. Prosper really made me mad and sad. The fact that he never called his daughter, like, ever. And I know Charlie has to feel some kind of way about that, because that's exactly what Ernest did to her, not telling her exactly what was going on. And she must be thinking, I know your daughter wants to know what is happening. How could your daughter not want to know that you're being evicted and that you're sick and that you need surgery? But nonetheless, she's just taking it all on herself. And, I mean, I think it's interesting that she's doing all this. Moving him into her house is a pretty big deal, considering she's only really known him for a year and all the rest of them have known him forever, but she's the one that stepped up to help him out. I just found that very interesting, but I'm loving their relationship. I love that Micah will have kind of like a grandfather figure in the house, and Charlie will have someone that she clearly respects. I think Prosper can help her too, because he is, as she said, it's like having a little bit of her father with her. So I'm excited about their relationship and about the three of them living together. I hope we get to see some generational interaction. I hope maybe he can be there for Micah as well. So I'm excited. I think it's going to be great.
Right, I agree. He kind of represents a lot of what she missed, I guess, with not spending as much time with her father in his later years, and particularly Micah. I think it's a good thing when you can take care of the vulnerable, you know, because he's really in a vulnerable state. Even though he's a man, he's strong, he has pride, but, you know, he's really in a vulnerable state. And I think it's a wonderful thing to see Charlie, who's always very strong and strategic. It also shows her vulnerability as well. I think it's a great decision that the writers made on their end to really show a good balance for Charlie as well, in terms of just her
side. But there's a totally different side of her when she's with Prosper.
Right. Yeah, definitely different side, and it definitely it's a good balance for the audience to see, because, you know, nobody's just monolithic, you know, just one way. Now, Envy's sickness and her business partner's reaction, you know, I think it really took him by shock. And understandably, I mean, when you think about business, you do want to ensure that what you're investing in or who you're investing in is well, is healthy. We've even seen that with celebrities who are going on tour. You know, they have life, they have to have a certain amount of insurance to ensure that they can finish the tour, because people are investing in them, you know, and this in many ways is similar. She is the maker of the pies that they're investing in. So I understood his shock, but I'm a little nervous, because you know, this is Aunt Vi's dream, and she really did not want to show her weakness. And if you think about it, a lot of times we as Black people feel this is our only shot in life, and she may feel that way. So it's kind of heartbreaking to think that it could all crumble because of a sickness that she has. What are your thoughts on that?
I was just confused as to why she even told him, because she had just told Nova when they were making pies, you know, no one needs to know about my weaknesses. And then she turns around and gives the person who can give her her dream about her weakness. I didn't understand why she felt compelled to do that, especially when she hasn't even told her family, her entire family, about her diagnosis. But so now Jared, I think that's his name, now he knows about it. It didn't make sense to me. I don't know why she felt like she had to tell him. I mean, she could have played it off like, oh, I was just, you know, wasn't feeling well. She didn't have to do that. I don't really know why she did that. I was just confused by the whole, by why she felt the need to do it.
Right, and I guess that can happen in life, though. You're just, you're really thrown off your game. You know, she probably wasn't expecting to fall ill right at that moment, so maybe it just kind of came out. You know, it just kind of happens that way sometimes.
But she didn't tell him until, like, the next day.
Oh, wait. You're right about that.
Remember, he brought soup to her house. I think it was a separate situation. Like, he said, let me get you home.
Well, you're right about that, because he did, yeah, he took her home and then, you know, right, mm-hmm. right. I don't know. Well, maybe she thought about it. Maybe she thought about...
It makes no sense. Okay,
maybe she just thought about it like, this is going to perhaps happen again, so she just needed to come clean. Mm-hmm. I don't know. But yeah, it's interesting that she told him, but... We also, if you think about it, in terms of writing, have to move the story along. So
that may be. I think that's really what that was, because I was like, "Why? Why the hell? Okay, whatever."
I mean, you know, but in life, you know, still to my point though, in life, sometimes you really do kind of contradict yourself or have a second thought on something. Like, I do need to come clean, or just to, you know, the truth will set you free. I don't know. But let's talk about Darla and RA's confrontation over Blue. They really had a tit for tat moment. I felt a bit of jealousy in RA's eyes when Darla was just kind of showing him around the home, particularly when she showed him what she had done for Blue's bedroom. So there, you know, I think the thing with them is, ego is a hell of a drug. You know, there's a lot of ego when they have a conversation. Overall, I feel they have both been wrong in this overall situation. But, you know, it depends on the day. But so this day, or this episode, I was more Team Darla. Ultimately, it is about the child's best interest. And, you know, she's a mother. She wants to spend as much time with her son, and I don't think she's wrong for that. I think 50-50 was fair. But I also understand RA's fear that Blue could somehow, you know, be taken away from him, or could, I don't know, they could grow apart, or Blue may want to be with his mother more, whatever it is. I can understand that emotion, but it's an emotion. But logically, it is good for Blue to be with both parents as much as possible.
Yeah. Their situation, and you mentioned that you felt that Ralph Angel was in his emotions because of Blue's room and how nice it was, really. It was such a nice room. And Kenya was there, and Blue has made himself at home, and I think that really got to Raw, and understandably, I can understand it, but he was in his emotions, and Charlie told him before he went over there, keep your emotions out of it, and then he went over there and got emotional. But he wasn't the only one, because after Darla saw Blue and Ralph Angel and Trent at the gas station, I think that fueled her a little bit more, too, to push the 50-50 split. I think they both were emotional, and that's never good for either one of them because they're already not good communicators. I think Ralph Angel is used to dealing with the Darla that is not confident, with the Darla that doesn't have bargaining power because she's a recovering addict, and that's not the Darla that he's dealing with now, and he's never calibrated. He's never realized that he has to handle her differently now. And so it's just, I felt both of them, but I really wish that he would have just said, okay, fine, 50-50, because he should have known that now that Darla is back and she's a new Darla, that she's going to keep pushing him to spend more time with her son, and she is still his mother. Now, both of them have been wrong in the past. I mean, if we were to put a chart up side by side, they're pretty even. I mean, because really, Rob was in prison most of his life. So I just wish he would have taken Charlie's advice, just made a plan, because it is a little bit of prediction, because I think it's only going to get worse. 50-50 is 50-50, and I didn't really see a problem with it. Like you said, that's his mom. I don't see a problem with them sharing Blue, but Rob's stubbornness, you know, is going to make it worse for him. So, again, I'm just like, do it for Blue. Just do it for Blue. That's it. I just think I side with Darla on this one because I think Ralph Angel is the one that needs to change the way he's thinking about it.
Right. Ralph Angel has definitely made mistakes when it comes to how he treats Darla, like you said. And, yeah, and that's what I meant when I said, you know, ego is a hell of a drug. They both have that, you know, in different situations. So, you know, at some point they just really, like you said, have to just think about Blue. It's really about him because they were in a relationship. It didn't work out. So there's always going to be hurt feelings over that.
But when you and that was Charlie's advice too. He didn't take any of it.
And when you put Blue in the equation, you know, all that kind of is taken off the table, you know, the best it can be. Now let's talk about Ralph Angel and Nova's moment as it kind of relates to his moment with Darla. I loved how Nova was lifting him up. Because a lot of times I feel black men in particular hold things in. And even with black women, you know, society tends to think that we're strong. We don't become suicidal when a lot of black men commit suicide. And it may have a lot to do with not feeling like we can share our problems. So I love that Nova shared with him, you know, the issues that their father dealt with and really just try to comfort him in that moment and lift him up, you know, during his troubles. And, you know, she has her issues as well. But I just thought it was a great sibling moment where we saw a black man talking about his internal issues, letting it out. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I love that she shared that with him because he, and I think we all do, think our parents are superheroes. And because as a parent, you don't, or you try not to show your kid when you're struggling or when you're dealing with whatever, you try to keep them out of it. Ralph Angel has been hell-bent on being like his dad without even knowing all that his dad went through. So I am glad that Nova shared that with him. And he seemed to listen because later on he tells Trent he's not going to take on extra shifts. And I'm glad about that because this kind of goes back to season 2 when they had that blow up about the will. And he was talking about, well, I'm going to work. I'm going to go to school. I'm going to farm. I'm going to do this. And Charlie tells him, you can't do all that. You're just one man. And here we see that coming to light where he can't handle it all. And it's so bad, it's actually something that Darla is using against him. Like, you have two jobs, you're never here for Blue, the house is a mess. So I'm glad that, you know, hopefully he's able to see his way forward a little more clearly. And I hope things get better for him, but I think it was good for him to hear that even his superhero wasn't as strong as he thought he was. So he can take some of that pressure off of himself.
Right. I think it's always good to know the human side of your parents. It can be shocking at times, depending on what it is. Because if we remember from even when Nova learned about her father being a janitor, or was it Nova or Charlie? One that learned about him being a janitor. Nova, right. Him being a janitor and how they felt about that. But, you know, people have to do what they have to do to make their dreams come true or to keep their dream. So, I think that it's okay sometimes for kids to hear those type of stories because it makes you feel not like you're completely off your path. Like you're okay. You may have a setback here and there, but this is what you do. You know, it's fine. You know, everything's not always perfect in your life.
I agree.
And that's it. Yeah. let's talk about Micah and his revolutionary. The revolutionary without direction, as I've heard Jada Pinkett say about Tupac. Mm-hmm. I think Michael, in some ways, he's not Tupac, but similar in terms of not having really a direction. But I applaud his passion, but his crew is kind of quite reckless, I feel. And I'm not sure if all of them are really down for the cause. And, you know, we kind of felt the seed of that. Or saw a seed of that with Kiki, where she said, you know, those just aren't my people. I don't really feel comfortable with them. Or we do things differently. So should he be hanging with this crew? You know, should they be trusted?
Well, I call them Micah X and the Little Panthers because, so they're talking about the plantation, and I feel what they are saying because plantations, especially down here in the South, it is where, you know, people get married, and it is, people do make a mockery of it. And so I definitely felt what they were saying. I like what you said about what Jada said. It's like they're revolutionary without direction, I think is what you said. And I do. I like their wokeness, but at the same time, I think they look for trouble. And there are other ways to make a statement and to make a stand. I'm just not sure about this plantation plan of theirs. Micah, he likes them. He wants to fit in with them. And even it doesn't matter if Kiki doesn't want to be with them, he does. And he has misplaced anger. He has a desire to fit in. He has something to prove. So he's just in it to win it. I'm just scared for all of them. Micah has been designated as the lookout, and I just am like, is he really lookout material? I don't think so. And I wonder, as you said, how wedded to the cause they actually are, or are they just rebels without a cause? Like, I don't know whether they are true to this wokeness or they just want to make some noise. I'm not sure. I feel like it could be a hybrid, but, you know, their intentions may be good, but there's definitely some misdirection.
Right, because people forget, you know, a lot of the, like, the civil rights movement, they had a plan. There was a reason why they were marching. There was a reason why they were doing sit-ins. There was an actual plan for that. That was a strategy to get in the papers for people to know about what it was that they were fighting for. You know, it wasn't just let's make noise just right. Because. There was an actual plan to talk to the government, compromise with government officials or whatever it is they had.
It's strategy. Like, they just didn't go around and say, we're going to do this today and then walk away. Yeah, it's long-term strategy.
It was a long-term strategy and very clear why they would make noise when they felt they needed to. Now, let's talk about Charlie and Nova's conversation. To me, it's always great to see them and have their sister bond and, you know, they were talking about investigating more on the Landrys and their plan, as we learned from the previous episode, to build a prison on their property, a private prison. And although there was, this bond, we know about the little secret that Nova's carrying regarding Remy, and she definitely did not admit that in this conversation. But I loved how Charlie protected Nova in this moment, saying, you know, you don't want your name on this. So what are your thoughts in that moment?
So back at the first part, at Prosper's house, I was just surprised that they were together, because we still haven't seen a reconciliation between them. It went from the mill to Davis's bombshell. She reaches out, then Nova comes to her house, and she dismisses Nova, and then here we are, and they're happy again. I feel like we missed something. But the conversation at the house, I was hoping Nova was going to take that opportunity to come clean, and of course she did not. So here we go again. And then later when Charlie, you know, first of all, Nova bringing her the information, does that mean that Nova is on board now? Because remember, that's what their whole blow-up was about, is that she didn't feel this was the way Charlie needed to fight this. But now she's the one doing some investigative work and bringing the information to Charlie. Was it the peace offering? Was it her way of apologizing? Is she on board now? Is she okay with how this is playing out now that there's the plan for this entire community to be destroyed and for a private prison to be built? I'm unclear about that whole bubble of information there. But it broke my heart when Charlie declined her assistance because she wanted her to have her, to go forward. She didn't want her name in any of this stuff, because Charlie's willing to put her name out there, and she didn't want Nova to even be implicated. And I felt my heart kind of sank, because I was thinking, once again, Charlie, you're putting your family first, and your sister is not doing the same for you. So I was a little bothered by every scene they had together. It was just like, we're missing information. There's a missing conversation here. Did they just sweep everything under the rug because of the prison? Or, you know, did it all just full circle back to the lands? And so now they kind of recalibrated and got back to it. I don't know what happened.
Right. The little things that we don't know that could change everything. You know, that's interesting how they're showing that with the show. I feel like Nova's probably on board, because we know that from previous two seasons that she's down for the cause, even though she's extremely flawed. She's down for the cause, and she's definitely probably, you know, this is the bigger devil, is having a private prison on her family.
Hell yeah.
Property. So, you know, and we kind of caught that in a subtle manner, I felt in episode 7, how she just repeated, like, a private prison, you know. So that was probably something that kind of shook her to the core a little bit, like, wow, okay, yeah, I'm on board. But let's, one little quick thing about Nova that I love, which was epic, what she did with the land and the sage and all that. I thought that was a beautiful scene, actually. Even though I know, you know, she's not our favorite person right now.
No, it was,
you know, again, people have layers. Everyone's not all bad. So
it was beautiful.
You know, but
I just wanted her to sage herself a little bit. But yeah, it was beautiful.
Yeah, it was beautiful. Yeah, she needs to use the sage on herself. That's funny.
She needs to walk on through that fog. Yeah, just come on, though. Just cleanse yourself. Just, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of people need cleansing, that's for sure. anyway, a sublime. Anyway, so let's move to Seen It. We saw the trailer for the next episode. What are your top two predictions for episode 9?
Top two predictions. Well, we know that we've finally gotten to the place where Nova is going to tell Charlie what is going on with her and Remy. I've gone back and forth about how I feel about it. It's how I want Charlie to react versus how I feel she will react. And I want her to drag them. Like, just, I just want it to be super duper epic. But then I thought about it, and I was thinking, is she going to go basketball court Charlie on Nova? Probably not. Because we really haven't seen Charlie reach that level of anger, even through all that she's been through. That was the only time we saw her kind of lose control. So I'm I'm mad about this, but I think she's gonna tell them a few words, and then possibly deal with it. I don't want her to sweep it under the rug, but Charlie does that, so I kind of feel that she might, even though this is huge, I feel she might just sweep this thing under the rug, and I'll just be super duper mad. And then one thing we saw is Mama Boudreaux and Jacob. And so that's going to be interesting because Jacob was a part of the plan all along. So now, why is he bringing his mom into it? I'm looking forward to it. And I think she probably will join forces with them because she was always going to do it with Jacob. So I don't know exactly how that's going to play out, but I think because this plan has changed so much, now we're talking about a whole prison, then she's going to have to change her plan and possibly use Jacob a little more to get what she wants. So those are the two things I'm watching for next week that I think are going to happen.
Yes, of course, Nova and Remy situation is the biggest four coming up. Everyone is, I'm sure, anticipating that. We saw them walking hand in hand. I'm a little fearful that, you know, it may not just be a kiss that happens between them. Maybe they go even further. But I think that a lot will be revealed about their past, perhaps, you know, in that moment. In terms of Aunt... Actually, I'll go with Ralph, Angel, and Darla. I feel they'll continue to battle, obviously. No, I just feel like Darla and Ralph Angel will just continue to battle over the custody of Blue. Perhaps Aunt Vi will become more involved in that as well for the next episode. But yeah. All right, well, that's our show for the evening. Thank you for listening. Be sure to like, comment, and subscribe.